Just want to make sure. Let's sing another verse. Proverbs chapter 20. Well, I guess we haven't finished Proverbs chapter 19. Let's finish a couple things in Proverbs chapter 19. They never put money up here when I'm singing, I'll tell you. I lose money when I'm singing. They charge me. Proverbs chapter 19. I believe, if somebody would help me here, I believe it was verse 21. Is that the last verse we went over? Verse 21. Somebody keep notes here. 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. We said, I believe on that, what God says will happen, will happen. A lot of things may not stand today, but there's one thing that will stand, and that's the Word of God. You can always count on the Word of God. It may not look good for a while, but you go by the Word of God, and it will stand. Let's look down at verse 26. It says, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Verse 27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray once again you'll bless now as we study through this blessed book of Proverbs. And I pray that you'll give us wisdom as we study these things, the book of wisdom, that we may have wisdom from on high to help us to live here upon this earth and to serve you. Bless now this Bible study, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 26 it says, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Many things we've seen already concerning how a child ought to treat his mother and father. And we've gone over several things. Just put down this simply, always respect your parents. Always respect your parents. Your mom and dad may not be perfect, but they are your mom and dad. Amen. And if you'll always remember that, you always respect your parents. We have a thing going across the nation today, this psychology thing that blames all your problems on your mom and dad. You're accountable to God for yourself. And what you ought to do is you just ought to live right, but always remember this, respect mother and father. Respect mom and dad. Always respect your parents. Then look in verse 27. It says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. And this is very important. Every young person ought to get this one down right here. Don't listen to things contrary to God's word. Don't listen to things contrary to God's word. By the way, that's basically why the country is in the shape it's in today, is because of all the... You think 100 years ago, they didn't have all the things being filled into people's minds, and that's why it was easier to live by character and live by Bible principle back then, I believe, because they didn't have the television, etc. I don't know what the figures are right now. It's something probably somewhere around 6 hours a day that people watch television. That's it. That's the average. I mean, there's people that watch it more than that. And 6 hours a day. Can you imagine that? Young people watching television for 6 hours a day. Who's instructing them? Hollywood's instructing them. That's where they're getting their instruction from. And we as parents, we better spend more time instructing them than Hollywood instructs them. We better spend more time teaching them than what Hollywood teaches them. By the way, what Hollywood teaches is contrary to the Word of God. We've got our dress standards today, not according to what the Word of God says, but according to what Hollywood says. We live our lifestyle today, not based upon what God says, but according to what Hollywood says. And that's the reason that America is on a downhill slide right now, is because young people are filling their minds with what Hollywood says and not with what the Word of God says. Don't listen to things contrary to the Word of God. But, by the way, same thing with music. You fill your mind with this rock music. Say, well, I don't listen to the words. I listen to the music. Yeah, the music's contrary to the Word of God also. And if you just listen to the music, that'll get you off track, and that'll mess you up just as bad as the words will. And by the way, whether you think you're listening to the words or not, you may not be able to quote those words back, but they're in your mind. And that music will hypnotize you, and that music will put the words in your mind, whether you know it or not. Subliminally, they'll be go into your mind, and you'll listen to things contrary to the Word of God. And that's why we have, you bring somebody to church on Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and maybe they'll get 3 hours of preaching, around this church at least 6 hours of preaching. But you get, and that's all the for they get for the week, and then you send them home and let them watch TV all week long. And when they come to church, it's hogwash to them. They say, well, they rebel against it because it just goes contrary to what they've been feeding into their mind all week long. Listen to the rock music and the Christian rock music. It's just like saying Christian adultery or Christian pornography or Christian murder. Christian and rock music just doesn't go together. It just doesn't go along. And there's nothing Christian about rock music. It's contrary to the Word of God. And so young people, be careful. Don't listen to things contrary to the Word of God. You ought to fill your mind. You listen to the right kind of music that goes along with the Word of God doctrinally, and the music that goes along with what God's rules in music. You listen to that kind of stuff and fill your mind with those kind of things, and when you come to hear the preaching of the Word of God, you won't rebel against it. It'll just go along with what you've been teaching, learning, and being taught. And it's very important to be careful. Don't listen to things contrary to the Word of God. So, well, it won't affect me. Yeah, it will. And it's affected everybody else that's ever listened to it, and it'll affect you also. Well, I'm strong enough where I can listen to the things of the world and the philosophies of the world and the psychology of man, and it won't affect me. Yes, it will affect you. And that's the whole of the world's been affected by psychology. The whole world's been affected by humanistic philosophy. Yeah, the churches have been affected by humanistic philosophy. And we have as much humanism being taught in our churches today, and I'm talking about churches that call themselves fundamental. I'm not talking about some ungodly perversion and cult. I'm talking about fundamental churches. Not God's fundamental, but man's fundamental. Churches that call themselves fundamental churches. That at one time, isn't it amazing today? And how we are a legalistic church to the world. We're legalistic. And 50 years ago, they believed the same thing we believed, but they weren't legalistic 50 years ago. Isn't that amazing? What's changed? Hasn't been the Word of God that's changed. Hasn't been the standards. The standards of the Word of God are still the same. Man's philosophy has changed. And now you tell somebody how to dress, and now it's legalism. 50 years ago, you told somebody how to dress, and it was Bible. Today, you tell somebody how to dress, and it's legalism. 50 years ago, you tell somebody how to live, and it was Bible. Today, you tell somebody how to live, and it's legalism. Isn't that amazing? The same churches that call us legalistic, 50 years ago, they taught the same thing we taught. The only difference is we haven't changed. We haven't moved. We've still got the same landmark. We've still got the same Word of God. The trouble is most of them have changed their Bible also. But we just stick by the same old standard that was still here around here 50 years ago and 100 years ago and still believe the same thing. We don't need to change the standard, and that's why so many folks won't listen to the Word of God. They come and hear hellfire and damnation preaching, so, well, we just don't like that kind of stuff. Yeah, I know you don't, because you've been filling your mind with things contrary to it all week long, and then you finally hear the truth, and it's such a shock to your system, you don't like it. So don't listen to things contrary to the Word of God. Cease, my son, the Bible says, to hear the instruction that calls us to err from the words of knowledge. The instruction that caused you to err from these words right here, the Word of God. All right, let's move down to Proverbs chapter 20 now, in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 20. We are right now studying through the book of Proverbs, just kind of skipping around a little bit. For a while we took every verse, but now we're just going to try to take some of the verses that are not quite as repetitive and take out a main thought from each of these. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." By the way, young people, that's a good verse for you to learn also. You learn this verse before it becomes reality. You learn it now. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Don't you even start. Don't you even take a drop. Don't you even start. There's another philosophy going across the country today, and even with Christians, that it's okay to be a social drinker. Well, after all, Jesus made wine. Yeah, Jesus made the fruit of the vine. He made wine that was not fermented, but you can't find any place in the Bible where they said to eat things that are leavened, wine or bread. And they were not to eat leaven in their bread during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They're not to put leaven in their wine either. And I don't care what the world says and what others say. Wine is a mocker. Say, well, Jesus drank wine. If he did, then Jesus was deceived. My Bible says, don't be deceived thereby. Just in our country, in America, in the last 10 years, there have been over 25,000 traffic fatalities each year in the last 10 years. Alcohol-related fatalities just in America alone. There have been over 700,000 Americans injured each year by intoxicated drivers. The DWI problem created an estimated economic cost to society of over $5 billion annually. It cost us $5 billion annually, just the DWI problem, let alone all the funeral expenses and everything else that goes on. Can you imagine that? And yet it's not outlawed. It's okay to drink it. We outlaw other drugs, but we don't outlaw that one drug. Isn't that amazing? 8,000 teenagers and young adults lose their lives each year in drunk driving incidents, and over 400,000 teenagers and young adults are injured every year just by drunk driving and drinking. And I read the thing that where there one out of 18 people that drink, one out of 18 is an alcoholic. I mean, that's diagnosed alcoholic. One out of 18. There are always those who say, well, I can hold my liquor. One out of 18 is an alcoholic, diagnosed, and probably much more than that are alcoholics that are not diagnosed, and many more of them are serious drinkers, and most of them call themselves social drinkers. You know how you quit? By the way, here's another thing. They say alcoholism is a disease. Isn't that amazing? It's a disease. Well, if it is, it's the only disease that we sell over the counter in a bottle. Isn't that amazing? You know, you'd never become an alcoholic if you never took the first drink. Isn't that something? Well, he's an alcoholic. He's sick. No, he's a sinner is what he is. Right. And wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23. Not only does the Bible say that wine is a mocker, don't drink this stuff, but in verse 20, chapter 23, verse 20, it says, be not among wine bibbers. Don't even hang around them. Young people, don't drink it, and don't hang around with those that do drink. Don't even be among wine bibbers. So the Bible even warns you about being with them. First of all, it warns you about drinking it. Look down in verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long with the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. The Bible says, don't drink it. The Bible says, don't hang around with those that do drink it. The Bible says, don't even look at it. Don't even look at wine. It says that at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Isn't that the way the drunkard? He's sick from it, and after it's all over with, he goes back to the same old bottle again. Back to it over and over and over again. Look at Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 12 it says, and the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. And that's what will happen. Those that drink their wine will regard not the work of the Lord. Look also in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 15. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15 says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also. The Bible says this, don't drink it, not the first drop. The Bible says, don't look at it. The Bible says, don't hang around those that do drink it. The Bible says, don't serve it to anybody else. Woe is him. Say, well, I don't drink it, but I sell the stuff. Woe to you. Well, I don't drink it, but I hang around with those that do. The Bible says you're a fool. Don't even hang around with wine bibbers. Don't even be around those that drink. By the way, you hang around with the wine bibbers, know what you'll be doing someday? You'll be one of them.
Yes.
Well, it won't happen to me, preacher. It'll happen to Noah. It'll happen to you.
That's right.
Happen to others better than you and me both. It can happen to you. Don't hang around them. Here's what I simply have written down. Never touch a drop. Never touch a drop. If you'll just make a vow to that, every young person here, you ought to make a vow to God and say, I will never touch a drop of alcohol. Young people, if you have not made a vow that you'll never touch a drop of alcohol, you ought to make a vow right now tonight. Matter of fact, if you've made a vow to God that you'll never touch a drop of alcohol, if you've either made a vow or you'll make a vow tonight, I want you to stand up. Young people, 21 years of age and younger, if you'll make a vow to God tonight that you'll never touch a drop of alcohol, or you have made that vow, I want you to stand tonight. If you have made that vow, you ought to make it tonight.
That's right.
As a vow to God, don't you touch it, or you can be seated. Don't ever touch that drop of that stuff. It'll ruin you.
Yep.
It'll kill you.
Yes.
And you can't handle it. God says you can't. Just don't do it. Look down in verse 3 back in Proverbs, chapter 20. And verse 3. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3. Bible says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Here's what that word meddling means. It means to be obstinate. You know what that means? All you ladies know what it means. It means stubborn. Here's what that verse is saying. It says, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Every fool will be stubborn. And by the way, that goes for men and women. I know the Bible says men there, but that's for all of us. It's an honor for a man to cease from strife. In other words, it's not an honor to get your own way to lose all your friends. That's not an honor. But it is an honor to cease from strife. So, well, I've already got my main mind made up. Well, you better not being stubborn. You better just go ahead and it's better off not to argue than to get your way. Now, I'm not talking about being stubborn and concerning the things of the Word of God. That's not the thing most of us are stubborn about. Most of us are not stubborn enough about the principles of the Word of God, but we're stubborn about our own philosophies and our own ways and what we think is right. What we ought to do is be stubborn about what God has said and about His principles and not be so stubborn about our own way and having our own way. Here's what I have written down. Don't be an arguer. Don't be an arguer. So, well, I know what I think. Well, that's your problem. You better find out what God thinks. Well, I know this is the way to do it. Well, you might win your fight, but you might lose the battle overall. And don't be an arguer. Sometimes it's not as important to get your own way. Sometimes your way is not as important. And sometimes it is good to forget about the strife, not to get in a fight over it, not to argue over it. So don't be an arguer. Look down in verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. We can usually tell everybody else how good we are, can't we? It says, but a faithful man who can find. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. That word faithful means to be trustworthy. Faithful. What we ought to do is we ought to be faithful. Every one of us ought to be faithful. But a faithful man who can find. It's hard to find somebody that's faithful, isn't it? Hard to find somebody that's trustworthy, isn't it? Amazing, even back during Solomon's days, it was hard to find a faithful man and a trustworthy man. How much more today is it hard to find somebody that's faithful, trustworthy, somebody that's just going to be, by the way, here's what I have written down, be consistent. Be consistent. Be faithful. I think probably one of the great ingredients that God blesses over a lifetime more than anything else is faithfulness. Anybody can be a great Christian for 6 months. God blesses faithfulness. You might be able to be on fire for God and a great soul winner for 1 year. God blesses faithfulness. Those that win souls week after week, year after year. That's what God's looking for. You might be able to be faithful in church for a year, but God's looking for the one that's going to be faithful. In church, faithfully. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Winter time, spring, summer, fall. Year after year, year after year. Faithful, 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 faithful. A faithful man who can find. We're not talking about somebody that's faithful over a 6 month period of time. We're not talking about somebody that's faithful over a year period of time, or 5 years period of time, or 10 years period of time. Faithful all their life, serving God, serving God, serving God. Not a flash in the pan, not a morning glory Christian, not on fire for 6 months and backslidden the rest of our life. Just get on fire and stay there. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Be in services, faithful. Soul winning, faithful. Tithing, faithful. Reading their Bible, faithful. Pretty easy to read your Bible every day during January, isn't it? How you doing in April? Faithful, faithful, faithful. Pretty easy to pray the morning after you've heard a sermon on prayer, isn't it? How you doing the next week? Faithful, 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 faithful. A faithful man who can find. And you just be consistent in the Christian life. So, I may not be able to do as much as somebody else can do, but you can be faithful. You can just stick with it. Well, so-and-so won 20 people to the Lord last week. That's good. They better be winning somebody to the Lord this week too. Be faithful, 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 faithful. Just stick with it. Well, so-and-so read the whole Bible last month. That's good, but they ought to be reading the Bible again this month. Be faithful. Be consistent. If you can just learn to be faithful, you'll see blessings in the long run. Overall, just being faithful. Just stick with it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't turn back. Be consistent. Be trustworthy. Be faithful. And that's what the Bible's teaching there. Look at verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. This is good here. Of course, they're all good. Just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after them. You know what the greatest thing that every one of us can hand on to our children, besides salvation? We ought to pass on to them integrity. You know, we have a generation right now. Years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, young people were taught character. Our parents had character. Our parents were taught character. But then one day a doctor came along by the name of Dr. Spock, and he said, you don't need to teach kids character anymore. And then my generation came along. The hippie generation came along. No character. Rebellion. Why? Because they were, we said, well, just let them eat when they want to eat. Let them get up when they want to get up. Let them do whatever. If they feel like working, let them work. If they don't feel like it, don't. You might warp them if you make them do something. And don't spank them. Boy, if you spank them, you might warp them. Yeah. The Bible, by the way, the Bible's still for spanking. And I don't care what the government says, and I don't care what the psychologists say. God's still for it. And that's how mom and dad were raised, and that's where mom and dad got character. And the reason we have a generation today without any character is because mom and dad quit teaching character. And that's one of the greatest things we can pass on to our kids. First of all, get character ourselves, and then pass on character to our kids. If you can teach your kid to have character, then when he's tempted one day with booze, he's not going to drink it because he's got some character that's been instilled in him. When he's with a friend someday and they turn on the rock music, he's going to have some character. He won't fall into it. He won't listen to them. He won't fall to the peer pressure. Got character. One day when it comes time to get a job, he'll be able to work. He'll know how to work. He'll have some character. When he grows up and mom and dad don't make him go to church anymore, he'll still be in church. Why? Because he's got some character, some integrity. Where do you think your kids are going to get it? They're not going to get it in the public school. I'll tell you that. If we don't train our kids, nobody else is going to. You and I, by nature, don't have character. You realize that? We don't have any character by nature. All we are is wicked, ungodly sinners, lazy bums, and that's all we are. If we don't work on it, if we don't get some character and instill some character into our kids, they're not going to have it. By nature, they don't have character. By nature, they don't tell the truth. By nature, they don't work. By nature, they don't love the Lord. by nature, they don't love the things of God. By nature, all our nature is wicked, ungodly, sorry. Sorry is a devil. That's all we are. The only thing that makes a difference is, and by the way, the only way you're going to get the power of God, you get some character in your life and learn how to pray when you don't feel like praying. Learn how to get in church when you don't feel like being in church. Learn how to go soul winning when it's 20 degrees outside. That's when it's warm around here. And you learn to serve God and do what's right and keep doing it, integrity, and that's what we need to pass on to the next generation. That's why we do what we do around here. It may not be a big deal, some of the things we do. So, well, that's just a little thing. Yeah, it's a little thing, but if we can instill some character in the next generation, maybe America can still be saved. Maybe it's not too late for America. If we can raise up a generation in the days to come, and say in 20 years from now, we have 100,000 people that got some character and have some principle like our founding fathers had, maybe we can turn this nation back around again. Maybe if we instill some character in the next generation, that's what it's all about. Getting some young people and get them in here and try to teach them some. Maybe we can't turn America around. Maybe it's too late for us, but it might not be too late for our kids. If we can instill some character into our kids and get some integrity in them and some honesty, some decency in our kids, maybe we can give them, maybe they can turn this country back to God again. Maybe they can turn it around. Maybe they can see revival in this land like this land has never seen again. Maybe we see a great awakening again one day in this land. If we can raise up some young people with some character and some decency like the older folks have got. And if we can instill what our older folks were taught and what they were raised on and the decency and integrity and character that they had. If we can instill that once again into our kids, we can maybe see America brought back to God again. What we need to do is we need to get back. By the way, here's what I have written down. You owe your children character. You owe it to them. If we know anything about the Word of God and anything about integrity and honesty, we owe it to our kids to train them in honesty and integrity and character. We owe it to them. All right, look. Let's skip down to verse 11. It says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." So even a child is known by his doings. So much more an adult is known by his doings. Here's what you ought to know, have put down, young people. It says, be pure, and his work be pure, and whether it be right. Put this down, simply, be pure. Be pure. In all that you do, be pure. I know it's not popular today. I know it's a foreign thing today for young people to get married and to keep their bodies pure. But it's still right. By the way, that's normal. That's the normal way. That's God's way.
Amen.
Don't you let somebody feed you a bill of goods that says that you're not normal doing it God's way. That's the normal way. So, well, the majority does it the other way. The majority isn't always right. And just because the majority does it doesn't mean it's normal. It's still right to do it God's way, and that's the normal way, and that's the way it was done in the past, and that's the way it ought to still be done today. Keep yourself pure till marriage. Every young person, every young lady, every young man, keep yourself pure. Be pure. Let's look from verse 17. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Now, usually how it is, deceit may taste good at first, but that's not how it always ends up. That deceit now, when you're doing it, may seem okay. But later on, remember what happened to Judas? Judas went out and betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He enjoyed doing it at the time. But after he got it, his deceit was like a mouthful of gravel. It was sweet at first. That bread of deceit is sweet while you're doing it. And maybe even for a while. But eventually that bread of deceit will just turn into a mouthful of gravel. And that's what will happen every time with deceit. Here's what I have written down. Be completely truthful. Be completely truthful. It doesn't say that deceit won't prosper for a while, but it won't prosper forever. You can make it being deceitful for a while, but you won't make it forever. Looking down in verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. It's interesting, there's several characteristics of a talebearer found in this verse right here. Here's how you can tell a talebearer. Here's where a talebearer will begin. Number one, they'll be a flatterer. They always begin with flattery. And then I'll show you the next step. What is flattery? Flattery is simply this. It's unearned praise. That's what flattery is. Unearned praise. Flattery is attributing characteristics to somebody that they don't have for your own gain. That's what flattery is. You can go up to somebody and tell them something, a characteristic that they haven't earned, or characteristics that they don't have for your own gain. Here's how they'll begin. They'll begin by flattery. Listen, I need your counsel. You have the best counsel in all the world, and I need to know what you have to say. Or they'll say something to kind of butter you up a little bit. What are they doing? They're trying to open up your heart. They're trying to reveal secrets. That's what they're trying to do. So they'll get you flattery. They'll come to you and pretend that you're their best friend, and they're your best friend. And they'll flatter you like everything's confidential. Open up your heart to me. You can trust me. And they'll flatter you, and they'll get you feeling at ease, and they'll get you to open up your heart. You know why they're doing that? Just to go to somebody else and tell them. That's what a talebearer will do. They'll get your heart, and they'll take it to somebody else. Step number one, flattery. Step number two, they'll get you to reveal your heart. And step number three, they'll go reveal it to somebody else. And it'll always be for their own gain. Flatter, and try to reveal your heart. You give your heart to them, pour out your heart to them, and they'll take that and take it to somebody else and cut you down for their own gain. Here's what I have simply written down. Avoid a talebearer. Avoid them. How do you know they're a talebearer? Avoid flatterer. Put this down. Avoid a flatterer. Avoid a flatterer. Be very careful. Just because somebody comes up and says that you're a wonderful person doesn't mean that they are sincere. You be very careful. Avoid a flatterer. They'll get you to open up your heart to them and take what you've given to them just to take to somebody else to build them up and to tear you down for their own gain. And by the way, if they'll come to you and tell you what somebody else has told them in confidence, they'll do the same with you. If they'll come to you and tell what somebody else has told them in confidence, they'll do the same with you. Don't you think that a flatterer is your best friend? Don't think just because they've cut somebody else down that they're not going to do the same to you. They'll do the same thing. A talebearer is a talebearer. And they'll do the same thing if they have an opportunity for gain or to build themselves up or to make themselves look good. They'll do the same thing to you around somebody else. Avoid a flatterer. Look at verse 21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Simply put this down. Take no shortcuts to success. Take no shortcuts to success. Have you ever done this? Have you ever tried to get by with something, tried to make a shortcut with something, and when you got all done, you know what you had to do? Do it over again. You ever done that? Sure you have. And you say, well, I'm going to try to get by. And what happens is it takes you more time than when you started to begin with. And you end up having to redo the whole thing all over again because you took a shortcut and you didn't do it right the first time. Now, here's what it's saying here. Do the same thing in your life, with your life. You've done it with projects. You've done it with several other things. But use that same principle in your life. Don't take any shortcuts to success. You might become successful in a year, but what are you going to be in 5 years? You might be successful in 2 years, but what are you going to be in 10 years? You're better off just doing it right, being consistent, being faithful, doing it right. Build the foundation, and then you don't have a building that'll crumble one day. You might be able to build something quickly and have it crumble one day, but you're far better off building something that'll stay for eternity, something that'll last forever. And don't take any shortcuts to success. There are some quick ways and some easy ways, but don't do it the easy way. There are quick ways and there's some shortcuts to doing just about anything in life, but it's not going to last. What are you going to have when it's done? You won't have anything. You build. Build it God's way and do it God's way. Start from the beginning and just use the principles of the Word of God. And 10 years from now, you'll look back and say, it was harder. It wasn't quite as quick. But at least we've got something that'll last now. 20 years from now, you'll look back and say, I'm glad we did it God's way and didn't take the shortcut. Didn't do it the quick way, didn't cut corners, didn't trim, just did it God's way, and have something that'll last for all of eternity. Don't take any shortcuts to success. Then it says in verse 21, the last part of the verse, it says, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. It may look good now, but how's it going to end up? You better build for the future. Not build for the present. Build for the future. Build for what's going to be. Build your life upon what's going to be 20 years from now and not what's convenient for you today. Or look down at verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. This is another very important principle for every Christian to learn. Don't repay evil with evil. Well, you don't know what so-and-so did to me. Wait on the Lord. Well, but you don't understand, preacher. They've hurt me. Wait on the Lord. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Wait on the Lord. Don't recompense evil. Amen. Vengeance is mine, saith who? The Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If you're doing what's right, what man and the devil and the imps of hell, if you're going by this book right here, you can't be stopped. If you're every man that ever fell, I don't care if he was criticized, I don't care what happened, didn't do right, or he wouldn't have fallen. I don't care what happened, you live by these principles right here, and there's no man that can stop you. Not a single one. I don't care what they've done. I don't care how bad they've been to you. I don't care what they've said about you. If you're doing what this book right here says, it will go, it will stand, it will last if you're doing what's right. You don't have to worry what man says. You don't have to worry what the devil can do. You don't have to worry about what the imps of hell may do. You do what this book right here says, and this book, the counsel of the Lord, will stand. You just stick with it. You stay with it. And if you're doing what's right to do, it'll last. It'll stand. You just stay by the Word of God. Don't repay evil with evil. Remember old Shimei came up to David and started cursing David. David had his men there, and Shimei picked up some stones and started throwing them at David and started cursing David. One of the men that was with David said, King, you want me to go down and chop off his head? You want me to do away with him? David said, no, just leave him alone. Who's to say but his criticism might be from the Lord? Who's to say? Just leave him alone. We can learn from it. Don't repay evil with evil. Just do what's right. Look in verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Isn't it funny how we think we know what's best? Isn't that something? We think we know what's best for our life. We think we know the steps to take. We think we know the direction to go. But the Bible says man's goings are of who? The Lord. Not according to man. Man's goings are of the Lord. We just like a little baby. A little child thinks he knows what's best for him, but he doesn't. Many times they'll make the wrong decision because they don't have the wisdom and the knowledge yet. And that's why, by the way, parents, that's why God gave mom and dads to kids, to train them, to build character in their lives, to help them until they have matured to the point where they can take the disciplines that others have placed upon them and place them upon themselves. And a little child may not know, and we're just like little children to God. God knows far better the way that we ought to take than we do. Look in Psalms chapter 37. Here's the same word for the word goings there. As far as I know, it's only translated two times in the Bible that I know of. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, and in Psalms chapter 37, verse 23, says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." That word steps is the word goings. "Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." What we ought to do is find out what God has ordered. And that's the steps we ought to take. Find out what the goings of the Lord are. And how can man understand his way? We don't have to understand, but we can know what he has ordered. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If God said it, "So preacher, I don't understand it." Well, God said it. You don't have to understand it. As long as God understands it, that's all that matters. If he said it, just do it. So, but preacher, it just doesn't make sense to me. Truth matters, there's a lot of things that I study in the Word of God that God has said to do that don't make sense to me. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm not sure I understand hell. I'm not sure that I can picture a person going to hell forever, forever, forever. For some reason in the back of my mind there's always this thing that says, well, maybe they're not going to be there forever. But what's God say? Forever. For eternity. For some reason, we always kind of hope, don't we? Well, maybe they're just going to go there and they're going to burn up. No. God says they're going to be there forever and forever and forever. I can't comprehend that. I can't understand that. But I believe it because that's what God said. There's a lot of things in this Bible I can't comprehend. There's a lot of things that I would do differently. There are a lot of things that are a lot easier to do than doing it God's way. I don't like being thought of as the lunatic fringe. Bless God, I guess I are. And as long as God says it, that's where we're going to still be. Doesn't matter what the rest of the world says or what the rest of the world is doing. We're just going to keep doing it God's way. Doesn't matter what they all say. I don't care how the other churches are doing it. What we got to do is find out what God says. Now, if we're the lunatic fringe, and bless God, we're the lunatic fringe, we're just going to keep going by the Word of God. Keep going by the Bible. Keep going by the principles of the Word of God. And that's what's going to last. Do it God's way. Here's simply what I have written down. Choose God's will. Young people, choose God's will. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The goings are of the Lord. Do it God's way. Choose God's will. Then look down in verse 25. It says, "It is a snare to a man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry." So the Bible says, snare to devour that which is holy. Don't devour that which is holy. What is holy? Look in Malachi chapter 3. What do men devour that belongs to God? In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." So, preacher, if I don't give tithes and offerings, am I robbing God? That's what God says. That's not what I said. I didn't write that. God wrote that. It says, "You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God says, I'll tell you what. I'll make an offer to you. Prove me. Now, if you don't pay your tithes and offerings, you're robbing me. But But I'm going to give you a bonus if you do what you're supposed to do anyway. I'm going to give you a bonus for not robbing me. Now, it's right just to pay your tithes and offerings, even if you don't get a blessing from it. But God says, prove me. I'll give you back more than what you give me. Just prove me. And that's what God says. And so what I simply written down, make sure always to tithe. Make sure always to tithe. It's a snare for a man to take that which is holy. Make sure always to tithe. A tithe belongs to the Lord. God says, you've robbed me. Where? You took the tithe. God doesn't need our tithe. God needs us to tithe. God needs your obedience. He doesn't need your money. He owns it anyway. Every bit of it, if he wants it, he'll take it. But God loveth a cheerful giver, one that'll give back to God and say, God, you've entrusted your money to me. And I'm just going to give back to you what is already yours anyway, that you've entrusted to me. And since you've trusted me with it, I should give it back to you. You've put the trust in me to give it to me, and I'll give back to you what you've entrusted to me. It's already God's, and you're not going to be able to spend it anyway. Somebody's going to get it. And you'll find it true every time. I've seen it in every case. A person that doesn't tithe is going to only live on 90% of their money anyway.